Praise God. I'm as happy to see you as you are to see me. Praise God. This was not my idea to be here on the first Sunday sharing God's word. I heard from the Lord about the beginning of December. And the Lord says, I want you to teach on the first Sunday of November. And I have been waiting, of January. And I have been waiting all this time to hear what he wanted me to share. Everybody kept asking me, what are you going to teach on? What are you going to teach on? I says, I haven't heard. When I hear from the Lord, I'll tell you. Well, I'm still waiting to hear. So I can't promise you what's coming out today. I just know that you can blame God because it wasn't my idea in the first place. But then I recall that 33 years ago, it wasn't my idea to start this ministry in the first place. So if I've been trusting him for 33 years to give me what was needed, when the time came, I don't know why I need to quit. The first Sunday in January, it's just another year. And it's the year 2014. So whatever it is that he knows what you need to hear. And he knows what he's brought me through. So I'm going to sit down here and begin to share as the Lord speaks to my heart. And I just ask you to open up your heart to understanding and receiving what he has to say. It's hard to believe that it's been 2.5 years since I've been in the pulpit as such to share, but that's exactly what happened in July, on July 27th, 2011. I was minding my business, had not been sick a day in my life for 75 years, had never had any challenges. And all of a sudden that afternoon, I had two opportunities to fall down as a result of a stroke. I didn't even know what a stroke was all about. There was nothing wrong with my heart. There was nothing wrong with my blood pressure. There was nothing wrong with anything as far as I was concerned, and I fell outside the back steps twice that afternoon. Well, once out there, and then it was so funny because you may be seated. I'll get them. Rose and I were scheduled to go to our nutritionist and chiropractor that evening. She was taking me. I don't know that she planned to have anything done, but she was taking me. And we were scheduled to meet there. Only just about the time that I was scheduled to leave, she showed up in her car and she said, I was in my office concluding a meeting, and the Lord said, no, don't meet her at the doctor's, go by and pick her up. And just as she got here to pick me up, the last two steps that I made down the steps, I fell. And I said to her, you should have been here 15 minutes ago. That was the first time that I fell. But we didn't say anything about it. I got in the car by myself, and we went on to the chiropractor, and we got there. And as it would turn out, she parked right next to a grassy area. And when I went to get out of the car, my foot got hung inside of her car, and I could not clear the way to get out. And so I fell, and she, because she's a registered nurse, she said, "Mom, I suspect you having a stroke." I thought, she's absolutely out of her mind. But anyway, we went into the chiropractor, and we never did stay for the meeting, for the adjustment that day, because he said to her, "Get her to the hospital." Well, fortunately, we were 5 minutes from Valley Hospital where she worked. And she said, "I'm taking you over to the hospital." I said, "Well, okay," because that's 3 times falling that afternoon. So we got over to the hospital, and of course, being who she is, when they found out her, she was there with her mother, everybody stopped everything else and rushed me on in. And from that point on, I've been living by faith, trusting God to do something that He had never had to do for me before. And that was deliver me from any sickness. I mean, I've had it done where my family was concerned. When Kyle was born, he was born with a hole in his heart and on the right side of his body. And so I used my faith, and I didn't even know anything about faith at that time. When the doctor examined, he was born at 6:25 in the morning, and the doctor arrived around 9 o'clock and examined him and told all the nurses and everything, "This baby won't be here tomorrow morning when I come." And they didn't tell that to me, but the Holy Spirit told it to me. Anyway, I just started believing God that I hadn't got I had not carried that baby for 9 months, to have him not function like he was supposed to. So when he came back the next day, of course, not only was he there, but the hole had closed in his heart. And his heart was completely on the left side of his body where it was supposed to be. And so from that point on, I knew I was going to spend the rest of his life believing God to do what he needed to do without me having to ask. There are some things that I've asked God for where he's concerned and where I'm concerned. But most of the things that I've asked God for, or most of the things that I have received from God in the last, 70 years of my life, because come this May, third Sunday in May, I will be saved for 70 years. Yeah, I got saved when I was 7 years old, and March 19th, I will be 77. The following May, I got born again. Not even by my pastor, who had been there since I was about a year old. But the long and short of it was, I've known for some time now that God wanted me to depend on him, because that particular day, the minister that was a guest minister, some of you may know him, Dr. Wendell Somerville, Somerville from Washington, D.C., who was the secretary of the Lot Carey Convention. Lot Carey was the first black missionary to Liberia and Monrovia. And he was a secretary to the convention that had bore Brother Carey's name. And he was preaching on Matthew, the 10th chapter. Well, when he got there, the 6th chapter, which we've known all of our lives as the Lord's Prayer. Of course, we've since found out that John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. But anyway, when he got to the 11th verse, and he began to share, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm 7 years old, 7 years and 3 months. And on the inside of me, I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I was a Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist lived, and expect to be Baptist dead. Yeah. one day. But when he got to the 11th verse and said, "Give us this day our daily bread," down on the inside of me, I said, "Lord, why do I need to settle for daily bread? Why can't I get a week's supply, a month's supply, or a year's supply?" So I've been thinking big and way ahead of God for 70 years. And I got a response. That's when I first time I ever heard the Lord's voice and knew it was not mine. He said to me, "I wouldn't hear from you until you exhausted it all." And he says, "And I'll need to be talking to you every day. And I'll need you talking to me every day." Well, I wasn't about to tell anybody about this voice I had just heard, because they would have put me in the funny farm. But I knew from that point on that I was going to be in daily communication with the Lord about everything, and anything that came up in my life was going to have to be dealt with through my conversation with the Lord. So let me just kind of tell you about what's been going on. But that was the beginning, me knowing that I was going to have to talk to the Lord about everything. And so I've been talking to the Lord every day since then, and that's almost 70 years now. Okay. Rose, I should have had this typed up because I can't read my own writing now. But that's okay. Okay. That's not it. I said, okay, no, that's the meaning. I have two titles for today, actually. Couldn't settle on either one, so I decided to tell you about both of them. One of them was The Ultimate Gift. Well, we know who that is. We know that the ultimate gift is Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you how you have the right to believe, to receive him in all his fullness. And then the other one was, in fact, Bishop Watson said something on New Year's Eve night. It really blessed my heart. He said, "Some of you have tried to commit suicide or kill yourself or do something harmful to yourself. But I need to let you know that God has so many words out there spoken over you that in order for you to do that, you'd be making a liar out of him. And he's not going to let you do that." And I thought, how accurate is that? Well, let me tell you how all this came about 3 years ago now. Was my first attempt at committing suicide. I had just gotten to the point that I didn't want, there was absolutely nothing wrong with, my finances were in order. I had everything that I needed. I had 20 fur coats, and there was absolutely nothing that I was in want. I didn't have any bills. Was living in a very comfortable apartment right here in the church, so I didn't have to travel, and God provided a full-time registered nurse. In fact, he had her to quit her six-figure job to begin to take care of me. And I thought, okay, I guess I don't have to do anything about this. God, you've got it all covered. But anyway, the first attempt was really funny, hysterical almost. One morning, I just got up and ran out of the house, got in the car, and drove to a location that I had picked out earlier, that when it was time to end this whole thing, it was going to be there. I knew how I was going to end it. I was going to stuff the muzzle of my car and leave the motor running. And, you know, the fumes are supposed to back up in the car then. And I thought, well, this is going to be easy. But let me tell you, when God's not ready for you to go, your foolishness is a joke to him. He just sits there and laughs at the whole thing. And so I stuffed the muzzler of my car with a fur muff, so expecting that it was certainly going to stay in there and prevent the gas from coming out. But after about a half hour, I happened to look up and look in my rearview mirror, wondering why this thing was not being effective. And there was a man, an elderly gentleman. This was on a spot where there's nobody supposed to be taking a hike through there. This was not a pathway to walk on. But anyway, this man was holding my muffler in his hand, looking at it, trying to figure out what it was. And so I broke out and started laughing, and I thought, I can't even kill myself. And so when he left, I got out and got the muffler, because he had put it up on a rock that I knew exactly where it was. So I had to send it to the cleaners to get it cleaned, because it was dirty from the fumes, but that's all it was. There was no effect on me whatsoever. So I drove back home, and I told my housekeeper and Rose, I believe, about what had occurred. And that was the first time. The second time was, I had a bottle about this size. I don't know how many pills was in that bottle, but they were sleeping pills. And this particular night, I decided to take the whole bottle. Certainly that will do it. I was just depressed and out of sorts. Nothing that I could pinpoint in my life that was wrong. God had not left me hanging on anything. But I just wanted out of here. I was satisfied. The ministry was turned over to two very capable young men. And I just didn't want any of it anymore. I didn't want you guys anymore. I didn't want anything. I had everything I needed, but the one thing I didn't have that I wanted was to see Jesus face to face. And so that morning when my housekeeper came in, she tried to wake me up, and I wouldn't stir. I didn't stir. And Rose called just about the time she came in. And she said to Rose, she's still asleep and I can't wake her up. Rose says, open the night table drawer next to her bed on the side she sleeps on, and there should be a bottle of pills in there. And she opened the drawer and she said, yes, but the bottle is empty. So Rose said, well, call Pastor Greg and Pastor Ed, but in the meantime, call 911 also. So the next thing I knew, I was being put on a gurney to go into an ambulance on my way to the hospital, where I guess they pumped my stomach. I don't know what transpired, but I thought, this is an absolute waste of time trying to kill myself, because I can't even succeed at that. Other people can drink the wrong thing or eat the wrong thing and die immediately. And here I'm trying two of the things that should be, you know, knock you out right away. But so that from that point, I decided, okay, God isn't going to let me kill myself, and there must be a reason for it. So I'm going to just quit all this foolishness, I'm going to turn my life over to him, and I'm going to talk to him every day about what it is that we're supposed to do to work this thing out, because obviously he has plans for me that I don't know about yet. So I'm going to just stop trying my way. And I was in the hospital for a few days, and then they sent me to a psychiatric ward, or what was the name of that place called? Four Winds. Yeah, it's a psychiatric hospital, but wherever they sent me, I was not making the kind of progress that I thought I should be making. And so my time came. Well, I went to two or three other places, but none of them had God's program in mind for me. Okay? So anyway, you know, October of 2009, I came home and I was primarily in a wheelchair at that time, but I was here in the church, living here in the church, so I could attend all services, and if I didn't come into service, I could turn a knob in my apartment and listen to everything that was going on in the sanctuary. So God gave me some scriptures that he wanted me to start speaking, not over my body, but just communicating with him every day. These scriptures, morning, noon, and night. I did it when I opened my eyes in the morning. I did it when I went to rest at noontime and before I went to sleep at night. I did it. And the first one, of course, was the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then it was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So I always knew that I was going to have a full cup to the point of it running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? And the third thing gave me to say, and I hope I'm not boring you all with this, but I'm going to go through it just like the Lord gave it to me and let you know. When he gives you something to do and you do it faithfully, you don't have to worry about anything going on. So the third thing he gave me was Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, and forgiveth all of mine iniquities. He healeth all of my diseases. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, that verse of scripture, I had been saying it for so many years, even before all of this foolishness. But all of a sudden, the thing that stood out with me was how many times the word all was used in that verse of scripture. He forgiveth all of my iniquities, and he healeth all of my diseases, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. So I said, well, Lord, if you've forgiven all of my iniquities, that means that there's no sin that I've committed that isn't already covered. And there's no disease that can come upon me that you haven't already taken care of at Calvary. So I'm just going to keep on using that. And then the next part he gave me was, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I thought, do I find myself rejoicing every day? Because God made this day, regardless of what transpires during the day, God made the day. And so that was my next part of the prayer or confession that I was making every day. And I would say that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know in whom I believe, and I'm fully persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And the next part of the confession was, I trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I do not lean to my own understanding, but in all of my ways I acknowledge him, because he directs my path. I say, this is getting to be fun, Lord. This is getting to be interesting. And then he took me to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. We already know what that is, of course. And that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I added in there, all these things that pertain unto life and godliness shall be added unto you. And right behind that, from a sermon that Pastor Greg recently preached about scatter not, I realized that Abraham's faith was not scattered, because he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. But the thing that causes people's faith to scatter is doubt and unbelief. So every day my confession was, I will not permit doubt and unbelief to scatter my faith. And so I went on to the next thing that he gave me, which was, God works all things together for my good. Romans, the 8th chapter, 28th verse. He works all things together for my good, because he loves me and I'm called according to his purpose. And I thought, Lord, living this life is not my purpose. It's what you have in mind. So I said, okay. So I started confessing, to adding that on to it every day. I got all of this within a couple of days. And moving further down in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, the Lord has put in my heart his love, and nothing can separate me from that love. Nothing, absolutely, neither height nor depth, darkness or light, sickness or anything else. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So I started confessing that every day. I think that's 35th verse of Romans, the 8th chapter. So we moved from that to what was the next verse? Lord, help me. Faith is the substance. No. Life of faith. Why can't I read it all of a sudden? Think it all of a sudden. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I thought, that's a good verse, Lord. I started confessing that every day. And then the next verse, I started confessing was Romans, Galatians, the third chapter and the 13th verse. For I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come on me as a Gentile. And I said, Lord, one thing I am is a Gentile. And so I'm confessing that all the curses of the law I've been redeemed from. And so the purpose of me being redeemed from them was so that the blessings of Abraham would come on me. And then I went back, began to study all the blessings of Abraham, and I started claiming all of those in my life. And I said, well, he didn't have any sickness. He was certainly, they didn't have any poverty. Everything that God promised Abraham, I could claim as mine through Christ Jesus. And then I went over to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. There's no temptation taking you, neither such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that he's able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that I'm able to bear it. So I said, Lord, I don't care what comes my way. It's not going to be more than other people have been exposed to. And you'd plan to be with me and show me. You're not going to take it away from me, but you are going to show me my way of escape in the midst of everything. And when, by the time I finished calling on God with his promises and letting him see how much I believed him, you know, when you can stand up and tell God, hey, there is no temptation, so I don't care what transpires. That's taken me, that's not common to man. In other words, no new thing the devil couldn't come up and put on me. Nothing, you know. So I said, okay, Lord, since he can't put anything new on me, that means that Jesus is with me all the time as my real reward and whatever else I need him to be. So I didn't have to worry about being broke, sick, mad, or despondent ever again in life. And my joy came back. And I mean, folks, I do these scriptures, memorized them. I do them 3 times a day, every day. And so I hold God to what he has promised. Well, that brings me now to the second part of what I want to share with you today, and that is that whatever God has promised, whatever he has spoken to you and me, whatever he has said, whatever he has predicted, whatever he has declared, has to come to pass. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You can hem and haw all you want to, but if it's ever been spoken over you, know that God has not reneged on it. And it's like Bishop Watson said, I'm not going to make a liar out of God by trying to eliminate myself before he completes and fulfills what he has had spoken over me, whether it's by Pastor Ed, whether Brother Hagin, whoever it's by. It's got to come to pass before the devil can do anything with me. And that's the attitude you need to take about whatever's been spoken over you or whatever promises you read in the Bible, that the enemy cannot wipe you out until it comes to pass. And if it hasn't come to pass yet, you just hang in there and laugh in his face and let him know that he can't do anything with the promises of God, okay? But then I started looking at some of the things that he began to promise, okay? Where the ultimate gift was concerned. You know, he promised Jesus a long time before he was a reality. But he still kept his promise he made reality but he practiced on some women before he got around to Mary. And we know who's the first woman in the Bible that was barren, and God promised her a son. That's right. Sarah was the first one. I'm glad he hasn't dealt with me about that. But I have strict orders from that young man sitting there anyway. He's 51 years old now, and he constantly reminds me that he's the baby, and there will be no other babies. I mean, even when AJ was born, I think I asked him, are you ready to give up the title yet? He says, never. In other words, AJ will be your first great-grandchild, but he'll never be the baby as far as I'm concerned. So I have it beaten into my head almost constantly that my baby was born 51 years ago and that there will be no others. And I'm inclined to agree with him now, because can you imagine me at 70, almost 77, even think about, I mean, I realized Sarah was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac, but see, God hasn't promised me a baby, so I don't have to think that. And if he promises me one, I'm going to tell him he better deliver it by FedEx or UPS. Because Sarah had to get involved with her husband to let God's will come true. And as I'm not planning on getting involved with another husband, I don't have to worry about a replacement for him. Not that he's going to tolerate it anyway. Yeah. I think if I were to act foolish enough to allow myself to come up pregnant, you know, no telling of what he would, suddenly his whole personality would change, because he declared that from the time he was about 3 years old. And like I say, he's 51 now, and there's no chance. In fact, there was a period of time where someone was trying to show interest in me, and he wasn't having that at all, and I realized it, because it wasn't for me anyway. But you know, I thought, why in the world would I want to get married? I was almost 70 years old when my husband died. And if we didn't have one, then why in the world would I want to start at this point in my life? I'm suddenly free to do what I want to do. No husband, no little children around, so why do I want to start all over? Changing diapers and breastfeeding and all of the stuff that people do. It's wonderful for those of you who still feel the need to do it, and I congratulate you, but I don't have those kind of needs. Praise God. I really don't. And so then God took me down the list. Who was the next person that was barren, and her husband entreated God for her to get pregnant? No. Rebecca. Right. It was Rebecca. After Sarah, it was Rebecca. Okay? If you'll find that in Genesis 25:21. And the next person, now these were all women who were barren and wanted to have babies. So God assisted them. Who was the third person? Hannah, you're absolutely right. That's 1 Samuel 9:17. Okay. Now, after we start leaving human beings and getting over into prophecies that God spoke concerning his ultimate gift, what's the first thing he shared? Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse, 14th verse actually. He said, there shall be a virgin. Well, all the rest of them were not virgins. But this one was the burdens on that. He was going to really do something that was different. And if you read Luke, the first chapter and the 30th verse, you realize that the angel approached Mary. Now you have to think about this. She's a virgin and she's a teenager. And she wasn't having daily conversations with angels. But here an angel comes and tells her, because she's pleasing to God, she's found favor with God, she's going to be the one to carry his seed. And so those were the last two barren. Those were the last two barren women that he spoke about. But then he talked about in the fourth chapter, in the 27th verse, that there would be no barren. This was after Jesus came on the scene, because Jesus made the difference. So the scripture says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And a lot of people want to think that everything is to be done with Jesus in mind. Well, it's true, because he settled it all. There was no need. He made the difference. And so they didn't have to talk about barren women. God didn't have to talk to barren women anymore. And I call him the ultimate gift. And when I looked up the word ultimate, let's see if I can find it. No, I'm sorry. Over here. Beyond riches, up. Impossible to go the test. Less possible, or the maximum. This from here on down. Yeah, you have to understand, I wrote this practically in the dark, and so I have to and Rose is reminding me that I did not want it typed. Well, that won't happen anymore. Because while I can write and I can read to a degree, I still need some help when it comes to this one. Okay. You can hear it. They can hear you in my mic.
The scripture, am I on? Okay. Yeah, the scripture that Pastor Sarah once read is Isaiah 9:6. And she wrote, was a word that was promised at God's request many years before it became a reality. And then she wrote, let's go back to when this type of prophecy came to pass. Sarah was the first female that God caused to have a baby. According to scripture, she was too old. She was barren. She did not operate in faith.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. No, I said not after Mary. No, she was not the last person, because then we had Elizabeth. Elizabeth actually gave birth before Mary did. She didn't get pregnant before Mary, but she actually was, I believe, the last person in the Bible and in the New Testament especially that gave birth. So I guess what I'm trying to say to all of you this morning is, hey, if God has promised you something and you have not yet received it, hang in there, kid, because it's not all over. The last thing you need to do is have your faith stagger because of your unbelief and your doubts, because God doesn't have any, and he's going to cause it to come to pass. Oh, well, I heard many of you came up to me last week and said, I can't wait for you to preach next week. Well, I'm sorry if you're disappointed with what I've shared, but I've shared with you what the Lord, because they kept asking me, Kyle and Rose kept asking me all week. Dolores called up and was willing to come in early this morning and type up whatever I got. But I said, I can't give you all anything until God gives it to me. So this is what he gave me to share today. And I want you, praise God. I want you to, I know, I'm not one of those running around the pulpit individuals. So if you're all expecting that, that hasn't gotten off on me yet. Okay, but I have no problem doing it if God puts it in my feet to do it, but I'm not going to do it just to please other people or be a part of the crowd. I'm going to continue to do what the Lord directs me to do, because the scriptures are very clear. As many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not what the crowd wants, not what is the popular thing to do. Okay, I'm going to follow after God, because I found out 70 years ago that I can't miss it if I just listen to him. And he said he wanted to talk to me every day, and he wanted me talking to him every day. And so we have a pattern going, and when something is working for you, why fix it? Okay, why fix it? Why change it? And I don't want anybody coming up telling me, well, you know, I expected this, whatever you expected. Donnie, you talk to God about it. I told him I wasn't going to get up and say a word until he told me what he wanted me to say, and this is what he wanted me to say. He wanted me to tell everything from how I was stupid enough to want to commit suicide twice and couldn't even do it because that was not part of his plan for my life. Then he turned around and gave me the scriptures that let me know that he was supporting me in these various things, that all he was working all things together for my good, because he loved me and I was called according to his purpose. I don't have any purpose or plan. I'm called according to God's purpose and plan. And so therefore I can sit back and relax and enjoy what he tells me to do, and hope that the rest of you get something out of it. But if you don't, talk to God about it, because everything that I get that you're going to hear me say, whether it's sitting there as the pastor emeritus or sitting here, everything that I get is going to come from, everything that I repeat or share is going to come from him. So all those little pieces of message at the end of Pastor Ed or Pastor Greg's message, it's because I heard from the Lord during their message to add that little curly Q onto what they said, because he thought that little piece would benefit you. So, praise God. Well, honey, you don't have to stand. Applaud Jesus. Okay, applaud Jesus. I just want to ask, is there anyone here this morning and you have never received the ultimate gift as your Savior and Lord? You know what eternal life is all about. You've heard about it all your life, and every Christmas, everywhere you go, people are talking about, you know, what Jesus has done for us at the cross. But I'm here to tell you what Jesus has done for us because of the cross. And he doesn't have to do anything else for me. He has overloaded me already, and I'm grateful. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, and you have never received him, and you don't have the assurance that you're going to spend eternity with him when you stop breathing in this earth, I tell people all the time, stop concerning you as long as you're on this side of the dirt. Stop concerning yourself with your future. If you know, see, I've known since I was 7 years old that I was going to spend eternity with God. In fact, I was dumb enough to think that I could see him sooner than he was ready for me to. But I found out that that's not how he works. So, and it's been reassuring to me to know since I'm 7 years old that there is nothing going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that's going to tempt me that he isn't in control with, and there's nothing that he's going to let me be exposed to that is new to me, that it has been done before. So I'm just here to tell you today that even when I attempted to commit suicide, I was resting in the fact that if I did end my life, in fact, I even went so far one time as to drink 2 large bottles of peroxide in the hospital, thinking that, you know, that was just going to cease it all for me. And you know what it did? It just made me throw up. And I ended up throwing up the 2 bottles of peroxide, and then for the next week I didn't have any peroxide to rinse my mouth out with. The only thing I did not like about what was going on was when you do foolish things like that, they assign a person to you to watch over you, whether it's a policeman, whether it's a guard, whether it's a nurse, aide, whatever, you get a 24-hour watch. And I didn't mind that so much, except she snored louder than I did. So I thought, this isn't going to work. This child outsnores me every night, okay? But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you don't have any confidence or guarantee that once you walk out of this facility today, that if something tragic were to happen to you out there on Route 59, or you just walk outside that door and have a heart attack, that you don't have assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, I invite you to come down here today and let me pray with you. Let me lay my hands on you, because that's your whole purpose of being here today. That's why God brought you here, because I can tell you, he didn't just let you come to a service to hear me. He wants you to spend eternity with him. So just get up and come on down here, and I'll pray with you. Okay, praise God.